Praise the Lord. One of the main reasons we have church is so that if it's not well, it can be well. Amen. We still have the liberty in our services that anytime someone is distressed for their soul, they can come to this altar and folks will pray with them until they get satisfaction in their heart from the grace and mercy of the Lord. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter. Mark, the 9th chapter. As you're turning, please get the announcements in the bulletin. There's a bulletin out in the back. Also, Brother Mike will have them on the wall. And after service, be sure and get the announcements. Also, last week we concluded a series on heaven, and today we're going to begin a series on hell. And these are serious subjects. As I was praying at the end of the last year, I just felt a need to cover some of these, what we would accept as things that people already know. You know, the things folks, the preachers will say, well, you already know this. And these are things that too long have been in that category, well, you know this, till they become things that aren't fresh in our hearts and in our minds. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? And if you've got a red letter edition, you can take note that these are Christ's words. And in Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 43, I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord in the house, but I believe whenever He moves with a purpose and an intent, something He wants to accomplish. Amen. Mark 9:43. Jesus says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." There are some matters of Scripture that are far too serious, matters that have to do with eternity, too serious than for the pulpit to degenerate to the point it's just a few jokes, a few stories, and a few spiritual massages to folks so they can leave feeling good. There's sometimes we need to be confronted with the truth about eternity. And I want to preach this morning that hell still exist. Hell still exists. Not on my word, but on Jesus' word. Hell is real. And it's unimaginably an awful place that must be avoided at all cost. In fact, it can be avoided at His cost. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the moving of Your Spirit. We pray You to accomplish what You desire to accomplish in this service. We pray, Lord, the words as You share them would echo afresh in our heart, that we would take them as from Your mouth and Your heart. Now, Lord, make a difference in someone's eternity this morning and shut up our hearts to the truth that we may hear the voice of God in a fresh way. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless Your people, Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I first realized how much some people didn't want to hear about hell when I went to Bible school, and the first practical works I was in was jail ministry. And once a week we went up to the county jail there in the courthouse square and went up to the top floor and we had a service. They didn't have a room. What you did, you just marched in, and there was the hallway that fronted the cells, and you stood with your back to the one side of the hallway, and just 3 or 4 feet away was the bars of the cell. and you address the men. Well, I got asked to preach the next jail service. Hadn't been there to Bible school very long, a freshman. And I was asked to preach, so I got to seeking God, and I felt He laid it on my heart to preach about hell. I didn't know any better, so I just said, that's what I'll do. And so we marched up there, the jail service, we lined that wall, our backs to the wall, facing the cells, and it was crowded. And we sang a few songs, the guys played the banjo and the guitar, and we sang a few songs, and then they turned it over to me to preach, and so I just waited in. And I waited in with the statement. I said, everybody wants to go to heaven, but we need to realize that Jesus spake more about hell than He did heaven. When that came out of my mouth, there was some grumblings you could hear audibly. And I began to preach what Jesus said about hell, and I'd only went just a few moments into that little sermon I had prepared, and some of the guys jumped up and started yelling, shut up. One of them looked at me, had a cup of water. He said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to throw this on you. He threatened to do worse, so they began to beat the cells and holler for the jailer and said, we want these out of here. We don't want to hear that stuff. We want these guys out of here. And so my first preaching in the county jail, I got the ministry kicked out for several months or maybe even several years. That was my introduction. That was my introduction to jail ministry. But I discovered that day there's some folks that don't want to hear about hell. But you know, this isn't my words. These are Christ's words. Church historian Martin Marty said, hell disappeared and no one noticed. Hell disappeared and no one noticed. What I have noticed is the word hell is being used more and more frequently by the world and proportionately less and less frequently by the church. It's just like this. Seems like the more the world uses the word hell, the less the church uses it. I'm telling you, the world certainly not afraid to throw the word hell around. I don't think the church ought to be afraid to mention it. And yet we live in a time that there are ministers today that are open in their refusal to mention hell because it's a negative that people no longer want to hear. Well, I tell you, my suggestion is that these ministers realize they are failing to distinguish between what people want to hear and what people need to hear. Amen. It may be a negative, but it's from the mouth of Christ. You know, I've got a few questions here. Why would the world be bothered by a place called hell when the church is not bothered by a place called hell? Amen. Why would the backslider be fearful of going to hell when the church member has lost any fear of it? Why would a Christian's lost loved ones be concerned about going to hell when the Christians themselves are unconcerned about their lost loved ones going to hell? You say, Pastor, we need a revival. Yes, sir. And one thing the church world needs a revival of is realizing the reality of a place called hell. Amen. We've got to have that revival. Amen. Do people honestly think that just because they quit believing in hell, that makes it go away, that causes it to vanish, that it causes it to cease to be? I talked to a minister this week that is having doubts about hell, and I asked him that question. I said, do you really think that just because some people start quit believing in hell, that that's just going to make it go away because we no longer believe it. We no longer see it as a real thing, so it's no longer a real thing. Amen. Just because it became old-fashioned to believe in hell does not mean that hell is not real. And just because we quit mentioning it from the pulpit and quit mentioning it in the Sunday school class and quit mentioning it in our conversations, and just because we quit mentioning it in the gospel song does not mean that it has ceased to be. Amen. For millennia, people have believed in hell, and all of a sudden it no longer exists because people no longer believe it and say it's outmoded, it's outdated, it's a myth, it's a legend. But I want to tell you, on the authority of Christ this morning, it matters not what folks believe. It matters not that they think it's outmoded. founded and old fashioned on the authority of Christ. I want to preach one more time that hell is a real place to be avoided at all costs. All costs. Oh, my heart is grieved even as I preach this for backsliders and folks that know better. Amen. Maybe they wouldn't be so quick to their sin. So quick to their, well, I'm hurt at this person. So quick with, well, I can't serve God. If one more time they'd realize there's a place called hell. I know even as I preach that those of you that believe this strongly, your heart is stirred for your lost loved ones. I believe the church can become so stirred about it that the lost become stirred about it. Amen. We are pretty selective in what we're willing to call a myth here in America. I think that's revealed by the fact that more Americans believe in heaven than in hell. Amen. It's just, you know, it's just more convenient to believe in heaven than it is to hell. If you want to know what the inconvenient truth is, hell is the inconvenient truth. It'll mess up your plans if you take it seriously. It'll cause you to seek Christ if you take it seriously. Hell is the inconvenient truth. I've looked at different surveys, between 75 and 80%